And it's because it's a message that's focused on something that all of us have in common. And that something that we all have in common is an uncertain future. And this morning's message is titled Security for the Uncertain Future. Security for the Uncertain Future. And as I said earlier, Mary was singing this song, and in the middle of the song, she stopped and she quoted Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And she also quoted Proverbs 3. And that is our passage this morning. And most of you probably know it by heart, but I want you to turn there anyway in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And we're looking at verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Or in the classic language of the King James Version, he shall direct thy paths. As Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, is arguably the most popular psalm, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is arguably the most well-known and popular proverb. But as I read it, and as we are inspired by it, and as we have quoted it, and as we've seen it on mugs and placards and little cards and stationery, as inspiring as it is, it's also a great challenge to our faith. Our hearts sing with agreement with this, and we say, amen, and it inspires us every time we hear it. But it is also a great challenge to our faith. Why? Because to not lean on your own understanding, to not lean on your own understanding means that you have to relinquish your grip on it. It means that, you know, we've got to let it go, as that song that has driven us all crazy. We have to let it go. And that's not easy, because we have some pretty strong ideas about how our life paths should look, don't we? We have some very strong ideas and very strong intentions and very big plans for how our life paths are supposed to look. And so when it says don't lean on your own understanding, it sounds good, but what a challenge to let go of my own understanding of what my path should be. Doesn't say trust in the Lord and he will take you down the path you choose. But that's how we read it sometimes, isn't it? Trust in the Lord, and he's going to take me down the path I choose. It says he will guide your paths. He will direct your paths. Those are not the same thing. The question is, where is he taking me? I know where I want to go, but I don't know where he wants to take me. He's taking me to a better future than the one I have in mind. Now, for sure, that path that he's taking me will contain elements of my own plans and my own choices and my own actions. Of course, the Lord has given us the ability to fashion things that crop up in our lives and grow. He's given us the ability to think and to plan. But it means being at peace when things go against our understanding. We can't say to what extent the things that we want to be a part of our path will actually show up in our lives. That's up to the Lord. To trust in the Lord with all of our heart means being at peace when things go against our understanding, even when we're blindsided by absurdity. And that happens, doesn't it? Stuff happens that's not just crazy, it's absurd. It makes no sense at all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, even when you're blindsided by absurdity. It also means trusting in him and acknowledging that the prosperity that we have comes from him. In all your ways, acknowledge him when it's crazy and when it's crazy good. I like how Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is rendered in the Message. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, it means believing that we're on track even when we can't feel the grooves of the track under our feet. Even when there's no physical evidence that we're on track. Even when there's not something that we can perceive or hold on to that says, I'm on the right track. Even when there aren't people around us saying, you're on the right track. In fact, there may be people saying, you're not on the right track. And there will be as we go along. There always are. You know, as much as we would like to be, and as much as we try to be, and I'm right among you when I say this, as much as we'd like to be, and as much as we try to be, there's something better than being in control. And we say, you know, I don't want to be in control. Yes, you do. And I don't care how long you've known the Lord, you want to be in control. We all want to be in control. We're crazy for wanting to be in control, but we want to. We feel somehow more secure when we're in control. Now, where did that notion come from? We've seen our lives when we've tried to control them, where they take us. And then we come back to the Lord and said, Lord, save us. And then when the Lord saves us, we say, give me control. And then we mess up, save us. So as much as we try and as much as our default position is to try to control, there is something better than being in control. And that something is being confident that God is in control. Being confident, not just acknowledging it, but being confident that God is in control is much better than being in control ourselves. And it follows, therefore, that if that's better, it's better to work towards the latter objective of trusting that God is in control, to spend our energy trying to grow in confidence that he's in control than trying to control stuff ourselves. If that's better, right? It's better to spend our energy trusting in the Lord so that we can be confident that he is in control of our future than to spend all of our energy trying to control it ourselves. Because it's better. And we would all say it's better. I remember asking a question at a Bible study. If you had a choice of having a remote control that you could point at anything in life and make it turn out the way you wanted it to turn out anytime, or the choice of taking God's hand, which would you choose? And I said, now keep in mind that if you've got the remote control, God's not in the picture. You are. So whatever you're doing, you're on your own. Whatever you decide, whatever you click on, that's what it's going to be. On the other hand, if you give the Lord your hand, what you're doing is relinquishing your notions of where he should take you. You're letting him take you, even though you don't know where you're going. So which would you choose? And everybody in the room said, I give my hand to the Lord, because I've had that remote control before. But it's not easy, because we kind of want a hybrid of both. We want this. Amen? Amen? Parents, you have plans about how you want your family to be. The Lord has better ideas. In fact, here is the main idea this morning that I didn't even give you. Here's the main idea. Don't settle for your imagined future. Because that's what we're doing when we trust in our own understanding. We're settling. Don't settle for your imagined future. The Lord has a better one in store for you. Don't settle for your imagined future. The Lord has a better one in store for you. Parents, you got plans about how you want your family to be. The Lord has better plans. You can be assured of it. Graduates, you have ideas and dreams about what you want to do with your life. The Lord has better ideas than you. We all have all kinds of personal aspirations. We've got career aspirations. We've got ministry aspirations. We even have spiritual aspirations that we have a perspective on and an imagination about how it should look. The Lord has better plans. As a young pastor, I had all kinds of ideas about how ministry should look. As a young husband, I had all kinds of ideas about how husbanding should look and parenting should look. Amen? Anybody in here have wild ideas about how it should look? The Lord has a better idea. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. The Lord will direct our paths. Brother Brian, at our breakfast yesterday, we were all sitting around talking. It was such a wonderful time as we gathered to eat meat. And to celebrate the goodness of the Lord together. And Brother Brian was sharing how the Lord checked him about worrying about the future. And then Brother Nat talked about how the Lord can help us with our ego issues by taking us to the rim of the Grand Canyon and looking out at its vastness and seeing its majesty and what that does for a big ego. And then Brother Ron, who was sitting next to Brother Nat, jumping off of Brother Nat's comment, said, when I stand at the rim of the Grand Canyon, I think about all the landfill possibilities that are there. Brother Jim observed that how the Lord has given each one of us a unique perspective. And I shared how our lives are bigger than any of our present situations. And Brother Frank concluded that that's why it's good for all of us to get together, because then we're able to see a broader perspective through one another. And it was just a glorious, glorious time to see how the Lord works uniquely in each of our lives to direct our paths, to open up our understanding, to broaden it, to help us to see what's important, what's true, what's false. He's guiding our paths by opening our eyes. He's guiding our paths by touching our hearts, by bringing us into communion with one another, by spreading His wisdom to us through each other. After scanning my Facebook page, there's this friend of mine that I used to know back in East Lansing. I hadn't heard from or seen her in over 30 years, and found her on Facebook. And it was a great connection. She was on the worship team with me when I was just starting out in ministry many years back. And so we exchanged a few words, and I didn't want to get into all the details about all that's been going on in my life for 30 years. So I said, just scan my webpage, my Facebook page, and you know, you'll kind of see what's been going on in my life. And she did. And then I got this message from her. She said, "Wow, Dan, so good to see how our Father has blessed you." And so immediately I sent her the following response. I said, "Gene, in all honesty, the biggest and the most precious blessing the Lord has given me is a much deeper, a much more personal and intimate relationship with Him." And I said, "And it's been forged through some of the roughest territory on the spiritual landscape. I would never want to travel those roads again. But if it meant coming out to where I am right now, I would be willing to do it again in a heartbeat." And that's the truth. In fact, the absolute core of my ministry, I said, is knowing Him better. See, when I think about my future security, I want to invest in the future by growing more secure in Christ every day. This is the best investment for. See, I have no idea what I'm going to have in the bank tomorrow. I don't even know if the bank's going to be here tomorrow. We don't know anything about, and that is a fact. That's not religious jargon. I don't care where you go. Like I said, what we have in common is an uncertain future. Every human being on this planet, God bless them and God rest their souls, those believers who were gathered for Bible study, and they are no more. They're not here anymore. They're gone. That's the last thing that you're thinking about at a Bible. That's the last thing when someone is sitting in your midst and sitting there for a whole hour listening to you talk about the Lord and looking at verses and maybe praying. The last thing you expect is someone to stand up and start firing a weapon and snuffing out the lives around that table. See, that's what I mean about being blindsided by the absurd. My wife, my daughter, my grandma went to Bible study and died at the hands of a murderer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. You say that to one of those family survivors, it's a tough sell, isn't it? We're inspired by it. But when it means relinquishing our grip on how we think our lives should be, it's a great challenge to our faith. But my future security, I say, you know, what am I doing for the future? I don't have a number. that I'm looking to have by the time I retire. I have one, but it ain't enough. But there's something, even though I'm uncertain about all of that, there's something that I can be certain of. And that something is wherever I am or however I am. I could be sick, poor, and friendless. Wherever I am or whatever I am, wherever I am, I'm learning that the Lord is going to be right there with me. Because he said, I will never leave you. So no matter where I am, he will be there. That's my guarantee. That's why I said I'm investing in securities and futures. Securities in Christ for my future. Because he will be there. And you know what else I'm learning? Is that he will be enough. Not just that he will be there, but he will be there and he will be enough. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Security in him is my hope, that's my prayer, and that's my investment strategy. So, Pastor, what do we do about this Supreme Court decision? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. I had a different idea, Lord. I had a different preference. Don't settle for your imagined future. The Lord has a better one in store. So what's my perspective on it? It's the same as it was before. The Lord works all things after the counsel of his will. That didn't change when they made this decision on June 26th. It won't change no matter what decisions are made after June 26th. We can go back to the future, return to our homes, eat our dinner, and say, Lord, your will be done. Let's move forward with what you were doing all along. Because you're going to build your church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. This is not the way this was supposed to go. Did it go that way? Well, don't lean on your own understanding. Did it go awry? Maybe. As far as we're concerned. You know what it means to me? It means God is planning ways to populate his kingdom even more. That's what it means. That's what's going to happen. That's how it's supposed to work. The Lord is conditioning this world for its maximum receptivity to his gospel. Everything that happens is the Lord maximizing the receptivity of this world. Doesn't mean everybody's going to get saved. But he's doing everything in his power to bring all men to him. That's his agenda. That's what he's doing. When Jesus said, my Father is working until now, what do you think the Father is doing? That's what he's doing. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Somehow in all of this, no matter how you see it, there's an opportunity that is bigger than the circumstance. It's bigger than our understanding. The Lord says, don't lean on your own understanding. So if I was going to break this down, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? First, it means to trust is to rely upon him. Don't just profess trust with our words. It means to rely upon him. It means putting our confidence in him. In the same way we put confidence in the vehicles that brought us to church this morning. Putting our confidence in him. It doesn't say don't gain understanding. God's given us a mind. It doesn't say don't use understanding. It says don't rely on it. Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Corinthians 13. So if you're taking notes under this point, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Corinthians 13, they contain enough truth to revolutionize any family relationship. You want to know what to do? Pastor, give us something practical. Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 13. That's enough to revolutionize any family relationship. And God has given those to us as guides, but not as substitutes for trusting in Him. So we don't want to settle for trying to these religious formulas to try to make stuff happen. Even our spiritual aspirations, don't trust in them. Trust in Him. What is God's formula for success? God's formula for success is a relationship with Himself, because He can't give us anything better. His success, His formula for success is a relationship with Him because He can't give us anything better. I was talking to Miss Evelyn at our grandson's birthday party yesterday, and we were chatting, and she was talking about how just accepting the fact that we aren't in control, how much that benefits our faith. When we believe that and receive that, it doesn't lead us to despair. It leads us to freedom. It leads us to where God wants us to be, leaning on Him and not on our own understanding. Third, to trust in the Lord is to seek to follow His agenda, not our own. And His agenda is all about love. I wrote yesterday, and this is actually I wrote this a couple of days ago, and this is before the Supreme Court decision, so this wasn't even connected to that. But I wrote, what is my perspective on the moral values of our country? What's my perspective on the moral values of our country? It's a prayer. It's a prayer that the Lord would make my love for people greater than my outrage about where our culture is headed. Amen. Amen. It's a prayer because I know I'm not there yet. I do love people, but too often I find my heart more burdened with care about this law and that court decision and this TV program and that TV ad and this new school rule. I'm too often frustrated, grasping the sands of a shifting world as my values and my preferences slip through my fingers. I would much prefer to be impassioned to learn how to engage the world rather than rail against it, to draw people to Christ rather than repel them with religious dogma, to be firm in my convictions but tender in my affection, to generate light without creating heat, to clearly understand how to live uncompromising in an increasingly godless world while making sharing the love of Christ my greatest and highest moral value. How am I going to do that? I don't know. But you know what I am going to do? I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and not lean on my own understanding. And I'm going to give it to Him and say, Lord, You make this happen. So how does this make our lives better, brothers and sisters? We always want to know what's in it for me. What's in it for us? What's in it to make this effort to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and not lean on our understanding? On our own understanding. How does it show up in our lives? How does it make our lives here better? And it does. It does. Instantly. The moment that we begin to move in this direction, we begin to see instant results, not so much in our circumstances, but instant results in us. It makes us better. And here's how. First, when we trust in the Lord, it relieves the pressure from our performance. Number one, we walk around with so much pressure that's attached to our performance. When we trust in the Lord with all our hearts and not lean on our understanding, it relieves the pressure from our performance. So, parents, have the conversation with your kids. Don't fret if they don't listen. Make the decision, whatever your situation may be, a parent or a single or whatever, make the decision and don't be insecure if people don't like it. Set the boundaries and don't worry about what other people are doing. Know that the Lord will make your path straight. One of my new favorite sayings is, it doesn't have to be perfect and neither do I. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He will make your path straight. Second benefit, when we trust in the Lord, we recognize that we've got help. We immediately realize that we don't have to be the one to make it happen. We don't have to be the one. God's got lots of resources and lots of people to communicate whatever needs to be communicated to whomever we are praying it is communicated to. We don't have to be the one. And when we're trusting in the Lord with all our heart, we let go of this idea that somehow we've got to be smart enough, spiritual enough, whatever enough to make it happen. No, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. And third, when we trust in the Lord, we can wait patiently. Oh, Lord, help us. Like my wife said when we first met and we were going, we met on eHarmony. And they have a little thing where you're supposed to meet in this one central place so nobody has anybody's personal information. And you just kind of talk in this little sort of chaperoned place online. And I wanted to talk to her personally. So I sent her a little thing saying, let's fast track, as they called it. And she said, I don't think I want to go that way. And I wrote back, fine. No exclamation point behind it. Didn't do that. But she saw that thing, and she heard it, and she felt it, and she wrote back, and you're a pastor? She said, patience is not one of your virtues. I wasn't trusting in the Lord with all my heart. Because my heart was going, poof, 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 poof. You know, in Bible study, we've been looking at the book of Exodus. And we were looking last week or a week before last at the episode where Aaron makes a golden calf when Moses is up on the mountain for 40 days. And the people said, where is this Moses guy? He's not coming back. Make us a golden calf. And they gave Aaron said to them, give me all your gold. Strip off your earrings and your necklaces. Give them to me. And he fashioned a golden calf. And when Moses came down and saw this despicable stuff going on, they were wild parties and idolatry happening and stuff. He said to Aaron, what did the people do, or what did they say, what happened to you that caused you to lead the people into this great sin? And Aaron said, well, you know how these people are. You know they're prone to sin. You know, they told me to make this idol, and so I took this gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. And that's how it happened. Just like that. So the question at Bible study was, what precipitated in the first place these people wanting to make an idol? What was the catalyst that caused them to say this? And we went back and we looked at the first portion of the verse, of the chapter. And my wife said instantly, it was waiting, impatience. They didn't want to wait. And boy, is that not true for all of us? You know, we can talk about all the evils of our country. We can talk all night long about the gay agenda. And we can talk about whatever we want to talk about. But do you know in the scriptures that God did a lot more damage to people for idolatry than anything else? He wiped out far more people because of idolatry than anything else. There is a, and we talked about this at Bible study, that human nature has not changed. And so whatever was the strong inclination towards idolatry back then, it lives today. We may not be making golden calves, but it is somewhere. And so we identified, where is this strong inclination towards idolatry today? Where is it today? And we identified a bunch of other things. But the root is always the same. The root is impatience. I want to make this happen myself. God is not going to be enough, or God is not going to be soon enough, or God is not going to be the way I want him to be. And as Brother Michael Yakey said, it's not about us going out and making idols of some other things. We want to make an idol of God himself. We want to fashion him into our own image. We want to fashion him into our own expectations, our own ideas about how God should operate. That's a golden calf. And the Lord says, don't do that. Trust in me with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. And you'll be surprised at the future I have for you as I direct your paths, taking you someplace that you would not believe if you were told. I'm taking you someplace that's better than you would ever imagine. And I can take you there without the substance of what it is you think you need to have there. You think it's got to be this and this and this there in order for it to be the thing. The Lord says, I can take you there without anything. With just me. Just me. Because I'm going to be with you. The stuff is not enough, and the stuff will eventually rot. Because moth and rust will corrupt it. And you say, well, it's not a thing, it's a person. That person will rust too. And will eventually turn to dust. But your security for the future is in the one who does not change and who will never go away. Trust in him. Spend the effort trusting in him who will not leave you and who is guaranteed to be with you in the uncertain future. I'm done.